I love my mom and dad. Chances are you do too. So why did God go out of his way to tell us to obey them? Doesn't really make any sense. Trigger warning. This is Caffeinated Christianity. So the anticipation was, I think, for a lot of people that when the government tells you you're forced to stay home, which in my case has internet, that you're going to become some massively productive person, going to pick up all these hobbies, going to generate all these talents, going to finally learn to paint, going to finally learn how to play acoustic guitar. You know, you're just going to become so productive in quarantine because, I mean, what else do you have to do? Well, you know, I thought the same thing. I really thought that I would utilize this time to be productive, to not waste a lot of time, to do things that are worth other people's time, and I have found that I've done none of that, actually. I've barely gotten my schoolwork done because it's easy to procrastinate, and I've become pretty much worthless over quarantine. So, you know, I really thought I was going to come out on the backside of this and be some kind of, you know, massive, super productive, multitasking, like, you know, productivity guru, when in reality, I'm going to come out on the side of this as like a big, flabby, like couch potato kind of person, because I have not utilized this time at all for anything really of tremendous value. I've been pretty much just kind of twiddling my thumbs, playing a lot of games outside with my little brother, which is not a bad thing, but, you know, I basically picked up senioritis, but I picked up senioritis about everything in life. So I've definitely been lazy, and I'm definitely going to look a little thicker after this is all said and done. But I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions are unqualified. My name is Cooper Short. Caffeinated Christianity is a blog, podcast, and creative content website dedicated to practical Christianity from an evangelical worldview, which basically means that we're all nerds who are Baptist who run this website. That's all that really means. I just made it sound a little more intellectual than that. What are we talking about today? Today we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and more specifically, we're talking about the commandment to honor your father and your mother. First, our verse of the episode, it's a short one, but one of my favorites, Matthew 20:16. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Now we've been going through the Ten Commandments, we've been walking through commandment by commandment, and kind of talking about what they mean specifically. Because some of these seem like they're really easy to understand, but when you actually break them down, they don't necessarily mean what we've been taught that they mean. One very notable example of this is the commandment not to commit idolatry. We often take that commandment and its context, and we're thinking, I don't have any kind of gold statues in my house. I don't have any kind of, you know, weird, like, totem pole things that I like to kiss in my house. And that's kind of what it's talking about, but that's kind of not what it's talking about. The commandment is simply not to be an idolater, and we're all idolaters. Today, we're talking about God's commandment to honor your father and your mother. The full verse is this: honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. Now, this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. It's the first of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. But there are a couple of keywords and phrases here that really, really matter in the Hebrew. The first is the word kabod, which is in the English the word honor. Honor your father and your mother. Kabod your father and your mother. The definition of this is to be heavy and to be burdensome. We'll cover that in a second. That sounds kind of weird. The second thing, kind of phrase that we want to look at is father and mother, Ab and Em. I don't know how to really say that in Hebrew, Ab and Em, maybe? Father and mother could be referencing ancestors more generally. So he's saying honor your father and your mother. He could be talking about directly your mom and your dad that birthed you, or in the greater context of kind of the Old Testament, he could also just be referencing your forefathers, your ancestors, literally that. So if we take that kind of into account, if we take kabod into account, if we take father and mother in Hebrew into account, it kind of reads like this: to be burdened by your parents in order that nothing bad may befall you. To be burdened by your parents in order that nothing bad may befall you. Now that sounds kind of clunky to say, but really that different phrasing is merely saying you ought to be burdened, you ought to be bothered, you ought to be in acknowledgement of your parents so that nothing bad may happen to you and you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God is telling them to look at history and respect it in the form of their parents, grandparents, whatever, etc. And the simple reason being, if you don't, you'll repeat what they've done. If you read the Old Testament, especially if you read the book of Joshua, what you see at the very end of Joshua is Joshua goes back and reminds them, look, the Jewish people have a history of idolatry. If you want to be an idolater, do it. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua says. And we see this theme repeatedly. Israel will do something great. They'll get right with God. It's awesome. Then they'll fall into idolatry. And then they'll come back after judgment. Everything will be great. They'll be right with God. They'll fall back into idolatry. We do this in our own personal lives. But God is saying, honor your father and your mother. Remember them. Remember what they've done. Remember who they are. And remember that they're God's chosen people so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. Now, I tend to agree with a lot of scholars here. There's no kind of supernatural element to the second half of that verse, so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. I've been told before that if you read that, it'll make you physically live longer because you're honoring your father and your mother, that God will give you a longer life for honoring your father and your mother. Well, that doesn't really make any sense in the greater context of the Bible. Here's a quote that I took from, you know what? I don't know where I took this from. Should have cited it. Now I feel terrible for plagiarizing, but I'm going to read this anyways. Father, forgive me. Those who honor their parents are blessed. You can read Jeremiah 35, 18 through 19 for that. In contrast, those with a depraved mind and those who exhibit ungodliness in the last days are characterized by disobedience to parents. We can read that in Romans 1:30, 2 Timothy 3:2. Now, the reason all this matters is because it's supposed to symbolize the reverence owed to God the Father, for your parents are almost like agents of God. When we think about this on a practical level, he is saying, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. Basically, if you don't listen to your parents, if you don't value their wisdom, they're going to get kicked out of the promised land because they're not going to know what's going on. They're going to repeat the same mistakes. They're not going to take the advice. And more importantly, they're not going to do the things God's calling them to do as a people, which is to love one another and love God by loving one another. It's supposed to symbolize the reverence owed to God the Father because your parents are like agents of God in a sense. God is the ultimate parent, just as Jesus is the ultimate priest, which it talks about in the book of Hebrews. Just as the Jewish priest was to be revered and listened to, so too are the parents. It makes sense that this would lead to a long life. Here is my opinion. God is not necessarily saying this just from his own perspective. He is saying this generally. Listen to your parents. If you don't, you're going to fail. God repeatedly references the Exodus in the later books of the Bible, insinuating that it was and is the role of the parents to tell their kids about the Exodus, the most pivotal moment in Jewish history. One of my favorite things to read in the Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is telling people on the bank of the Jordan River, when your kids ask you why we're doing these things, when your kids ask you about the Passover, when they ask you about the Promised Land, Moses says, tell them about the Exodus. Tell them about how God saved you from slavery in the land of Egypt. And the Exodus is a picture of salvation. So when we look at the role of the parents throughout the Bible, it's to remind your children, look, this is what God created us for, which was to glorify and honor him in all that we say and do and are. Under no circumstance should you ever compromise the gospel and or your faith for your parents, but as it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, God's not calling you to become an axe murderer if your parents are asking you to do so. That doesn't make any sense. Don't make that argument. But generally speaking, you are called to obey your parents. And I've even heard some people take this commandment and even extend it to authority in general, that you are to honor authority because parents are technically your ultimate authority, your ultimate earthly authority. Technically, if we really want to be, I don't want to say the word technical again, but if we want to be technical about it. So here's what we have. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. Here we see the commandment to honor and be burdened by the witness and the integrity and the character and the history of your parents, of your elders, of your ancestors, so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. Now, the land and the Lord God you're giving, Lord God is giving you doesn't necessarily apply to me now, naturally, because I'm not a biblical Jew looking for the promised land, okay? I'm chilling in Kingsmount, North Carolina, second greatest city on the planet. Here's the thing, though. When you were talking about being in the promised land, being in the land the Lord God is giving you, God promised you salvation if you believe in and on Jesus, obviously. But the things that God is bestowing in your life, if you're not honoring authority, if you're not honoring your parents, if you're not honoring the ultimate parent, which is Christ, you're not really utilizing that quote-unquote promised land that God has you in. You're not being a good steward. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. This is the first commandment with a promise, and it's very simple. Honor your father and your mother, your forefathers, your ancestors, and more importantly, honor their witness in the Lord. Remember the Exodus. Remember salvation. Remember why God has you here. And it's only and holistically to glorify and honor Him, and it's because He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. That's why we're here. And if you don't honor the witness of your parents, as the commandment is telling us here, you're not going to last very long. Because the person who is quick to forget their mom and dad, the person who is quick to forget history, is a person who is bound to repeat it. Just as Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24, if you want to be an idolater like your fathers were, go ahead and do it. But I, as a father, am taking my family, and we're going to serve the Lord. And the person who is not privy to that is the person who is bound to repeat it. My Jesus moment of probably the last few weeks is one that was very interesting. My home church very recently went through the book of Habakkuk, and I wasn't there. Obviously, I was at school until, you know, we were all forced to come home and, you know, quarantine or whatever. But they went through the book of Habakkuk, and I had never actually read it before. And, you know, the prophets in the Bible are kind of weird. There's a lot of historical context you got to know. It's all kind of strange. And, like, I've just never really taken the time to read a lot of them. But what I've been doing recently is I've been really going through a lot of the Bible, basically. I've been trying to read through the whole Bible, not in order, but I've been trying to pick off books one at a time. And so a couple weeks ago, I actually sat down and read the book of Habakkuk. And one of the most powerful things I've ever read comes at the very end of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. It says this. The subheading is Habakkuk rejoices in the Lord, but that's not divinely inspired. Obviously, some nerd somewhere put that in there. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take the joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. What's very interesting about this verse, and I think it's so pertinent to the time we find ourselves in now, is that Habakkuk is basically saying, in my interpretation here, that even if everything is super trash, I will still find a way to rejoice in the Lord because He's my strength and He takes care of me. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing to kind of submit yourself to in this time during coronavirus, during COVID-19, during quarantine, during job loss, during what have you, during not getting to see your grandparents, blah, 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 blah. Relative to everyone else, I'm living the absolute dream right now. Both of my parents have jobs because they work in education. We're not hurting for anything. I've got access to grocery stores. I live in a nice town. There's not really a lot going on. My life hasn't really changed. I haven't gotten to go and, you know, play disc golf with my friends or see my grandparents. But generally speaking, I've been living a pretty normal, pretty comfortable life since all this crap started happening. But there are a lot of people going through some pretty trash situations right now. And there are lots of trash situations in life. And look at what Habakkuk does here. He doesn't make an excuse for those. And he doesn't tell you that they're ever going to end. Though the fig tree should not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive has failed, the fields have no food, the flock is cut off, there is no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk is saying there is nothing. I have literally no things. There is zero going on here. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. It's amazing when you read parts of the Bible. When you look at Jesus on the cross, you're looking at these moments, and the only thing these people can do when everything is stripped away is rely on the God who created them for His good and their glory. For his glory and their good. I said that backwards. And I just think that's very powerful. That's something that really spoke to me when I read that, and it's been kind of lingering on my mind. It was pretty awesome. Your CHH song of the episode is the song Highlight by Ty Brassel featuring What Up RG, 1K Few. Ty Brassel has an album coming out May 1st, which I'm super pumped about, and it's supposed to be really good. Lecrae has an album coming out soon. Wande has an album coming out Friday. Gavi had an album come out last week. There's a lot of singles dropping. KB switched labels. Now he's with Sony. He dropped a song, and it's fire. And so it's a great time to be a Christian rap fan. But the thing is with the Christian rap industry is we'll get a lot at once, and then we'll have a dry spell, and then we'll get a lot at once, and then we'll have a dry spell. So I'm going to savor this moment and run these songs in the ground, because there will come a time about September when nothing's coming out, and then we'll have nothing else to do except talk about the songs we liked 6 months ago. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Listen, I'm the worst podcaster in the history of the world because I don't do anything consistently. That's my big flaw, is I have too many hobbies. I get involved, I get busy, blah, 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 blah. But it's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ, John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Wash your hands, wear a mask to the grocery store, and remember, and don't you ever forget, that the battle is already won. Outie.